الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو انزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون والله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يستبدل له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم Now, ladies and gentlemen, I can't give you the total translation, but the meaning of this verse is that had we bestowed the Holy Quran on the mountain, then the responsibility and the weight of this message would have been so heavy on this mountain that this mountain would have been raised to pieces, small pieces of dust. And this is such a matter of great responsibility that we have given you the word of the God. And God is the creator, and God is that he has the qualities of creation, and all creativity belongs to the God Almighty. All learning belongs to the God Almighty. And God Almighty is the creator, and he is the one who has created beauty. So the quality of the God are mentioned in this verse. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Before we start the program, I would like to introduce ourselves as our companies, as what we do and why we do it. We are a group of companies known as ACE Group of Companies. The three companies are ACE Consulting, ACE Learnings and ASA Foundation. ACE Consulting caters to the corporate side, the corporate needs of the corporate sector. We are basically known as leaders in corporate change, and we specialize in change as such. ACE was created so that it could provide excellence in the business sector of Pakistan. Under the platform of ACE, we have conducted and we are conducting a number of assignments, change assignments, which include total quality management, ISO 9000, business process re-engineering, learning organizations, and so on. We also are heavily into training. We give sales training, leadership training, team building training, and a number of other things that we do. ACE was created in November 1995, and in this short span of time, we have a client base that covers Islamabad, Karachi, Lahore, Faisalabad, Sialkot, and we are one of the best strategic management consultancies in Pakistan today. Excuse me. ACE Learnings, which is the firm that is holding this seminar, was created to bring personal excellence or to help people develop themselves. Its motto is to create personal excellence in all the individuals. This seminar that you're attending is the first step that we have taken since the establishment of ACE Learnings to give this message to a number of people. ASA Foundation is a third company which is also, which is basically a charity organization. As a charity organization, ASA Foundation does the same thing, that is to provide knowledge to those people who cannot afford to go to schools or to read and so on and so forth. We have conducted a number of seminars for mahallas, committees, mosques, prison population, and those schools, public schools, where the children are too poor to attend a seminar like this. So the basic foundation for which basically gave us the idea to form ASA Foundation is a little saying that says that the best charity is the right knowledge that leads to the right action. So that is what we do as a charity, and some of the money that we make in ACE Consulting and as well and ACE Learnings as well, that goes to us a foundation. In summary, what we are change agents. We call ourselves change agents. We have a change model of our own that suggests that there is no change possible within a society or in the corporate sector unless and until the people, the individuals within that society or within that business sector change themselves. So all of these three companies, they basically are a part of our change model. ASA Foundation is what we call it, takes care of the social change side of the of our model. ACE Consulting takes care of the corporate change side of our model. And ACE Learnings takes care of the personal change side of our model. We know that for the past 50 years, since this this event is coinciding with the 50th anniversary of Pakistan, I'd like to say a little bit about that. For the past 50 years, we all know that this country has been drained. People have been using it for their own vested interest, you know, their own specific needs, ignoring the society as a whole. And we all know that this country has got great potential in terms of its skills, in terms of its people, in terms of the resources, other natural resources that we have. But yet, when it comes down to the point where, you know, we all say, hey, yeah, somebody has to change this, you know, something has to change. But when it comes down to who exactly is going to change and what exactly is going to change, we have excuses like, well, you know, this is not a job for one man. Or, you know, well, I didn't make the things the way they are, so how can I put them back together again? And the excuses go on forever. But I would like to make a point here, and the point is that if you look back in the history, whether it's Islamic history or the history in general, look at the wars, look at all the developments that have taken place in the world, scientific or otherwise, you'll find that behind all the creations, all the events that changed the history of the world, there was only one man. Take, for instance, World War II, Hitler. He was just one man. Good or bad, I'm not saying anything about that, but he was just one man. Alexander the Great conquered the whole earth. Just one man. Napoleon. Okay, the examples are countless. Maybe regarding Pakistan, it was one man's vision, Iqbal, that created Pakistan in the hearts and minds of the Muslims of India. And then again, it was just one man, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, who, against all odds, helped us have this country. So whenever you come to that point where you say, hey, this is not a job for one man, you must think back to all the historical events, all the scientific discoveries, like I've said before, and you'll find that against all impossible feats, there's always been just single people, single-handedly moving nations, moving countries, moving everything that the world can throw at their doorstep. They just did it. How? How exactly did they achieve what they achieved? That is exactly the question that this program is going to answer for you. If you have that question, that is. But all successful people, all success stories that you'll read anywhere will have a few guidelines or rules that all successful people have followed. It doesn't matter what religion they belong to. It doesn't matter what society they belong to. It doesn't matter what country they belong to. They all follow simple, universal guidelines and rules that anyone can follow and become successful. Given your own definition of success, given your own resources, within or without yourself, you can be successful. How you can be successful is what this program is going to address. A little bit about this program in specific. Sixth discipline is the name given to this program. People have asked me why sixth discipline. So I'm going to give a brief. Like I've said before, that success is defined by you. Somebody's definition of success will not be the same as somebody else's definition of success. For some people, success will be in financial rewards. For some people, success will be in intellectual rewards. Like getting a PhD might be success, might be considered success for some of you, but making $1 million, on the other hand, might be considered success for the other. So success is dependent upon your own personal definition of it. There are 5 elements of success, which is what we're going to tell you in this program. That to be successful, you have to have financial success, because generally speaking, that is the only measure of success most people know. Then you have to have physical success. You need to have a healthy body. You need to have, you know, nice hair, something like that. So after the physical success comes the emotional success. You need to have love. You need to have that feeling that you are loved. You need to have someone that you can love. You need to have that sense of belonging. After that, you have the intellectual success. You need to know. You need to be. You need to know what's going on in the world. You need to know what's going on within you. You need to know the current affairs. You need to know, if you're in psychology, you need to know all the aspects of psychology. If you're into biology, you need to know all the aspects of it. So intellectual success. These are different levels of satisfaction. For different people, the level of satisfaction will be different. And then finally, you have spiritual success. There comes a time in your life when you have traveled the world, stayed in every beautiful place you can imagine, have courted beautiful women, when you have made a lot of money, and when everything is said and done, you're still unsatisfied. So that's when people turn to God, you know, age of 40 maybe. So that is spiritual success. It doesn't necessarily have to come at the age of 40. It can be right here, right now, at the age of 24, 25, 23, wherever you are. So all of these 5 things, when you combine them, and when you have achieved success in all of these 5 things, that is what the sixth discipline is: integration of success in all of these different areas that I've talked about. I guess before I go on, there is someone I would like to thank for making this program possible, and that is the United States Information Services, because without them, it wouldn't have been possible to arrange all of those things, especially people up there who are controlling the mics and the lights, and people who are going to give you refreshments. So, thank you. Especially to the director of American Center, Ms. Donna Winton. Okay. The last thing that I need to say is about the speaker, Mr. Faisal. I don't know where to start, really. Mr. Sial was one of the leading consultants, one of the leading management consultants this country has ever seen for the past 6-7 years. He was making a lot of money. He had a BMW, nice house, still has a nice wife. But something was missing from his life. And that something was that at the place that he was working, he was not being able to fulfill his dreams. You know, I heard it somewhere, in fact I read it somewhere, that there's a quotation was saying that if you lose your dreams, you lose your mind. I don't know, I'm not going to say anything about the crowd here, but generally speaking, I've seen people in this country especially who don't have any dreams whatsoever. So I wonder about their sanity. Anyhow, his dream, what was his dream? His dream was the same as his life mission, and that was, and it still is, to create a difference in the people's life. To create a positive difference or change in the lives of the people. To touch somebody's life. Why? Because people could remember him in their hearts, in their good memories. When I was talking earlier about our being change agents, this is a part of it, bringing change in people's lives. We just don't say that we are change agents, we are actually doing it, and this program is a proof in itself. It's being recorded. So hopefully when the program ends, and when you have all the information, and when you go home and you apply all that you have learned, and then maybe you can come back to us and tell us if that has really changed you or not. So that is an open challenge. Anyway, I was talking about Faisal. So in 1995, he left that consulting firm. He left a very good pay package, BMW house, to pursue his own dreams. Apart from being, he opened up his own consultancy, which is what I'm representing this evening, or this afternoon rather, ACE Consulting, ACE Learning's Inessa Foundation. At the same time, he was also heavily involved in teaching. He's also one of the best trainers this country has, trained by organizations such as National Training Laboratories in Bethel, Maine, USA. Institutes just such as Tavistock Institute of Human Relations in UK and Harvard Business School. You all know where that is. So he was one of the best consultants, one of the best trainers. After he left his former firm, he also started teaching, and he became one of the best teachers in the MBA colleges. But that, all of that was where he made his money. There was another side to it. He was also a personal counselor, a relationship counselor, or a marriage counselor. Call it whatever you will. One-to-one counseling. That's what he did at a very low profile, and he did it for free. What happened was that in his dream, in his obsession to make a difference in other people's lives, he started counseling, but pretty soon he realized that if this thing goes on, you can only counsel maybe, you know, one person a week. Or you can only have maybe 20 clients a year that you're counseling for free. So where's the fun of it? If only 20 people can benefit in 1 year, that means in a life of 60, that's only what, 100 and something people out of millions of us? So that's where the idea of having this seminar, making this seminar public, sharing the information that he had gathered over the past 6-7 years about the miseries of the people. Because regardless of where you are, like success, the miseries of the people are the same as well. Some people are not happy because their kids have left them. Some people are not happy because they're not being paid well enough. Some people are not happy because they have a problem with their wife or their husband. So the problems remain the same. Some people are not happy because they've worked too hard and yet they don't get anything out of it. They want to make a lot of money, and they're very talented and intelligent people, but they just can't. So all of these things that he learned for the past 6 years, he compiled them, and he stopped personal counseling. And he said, what I'm going to do right now is, I'm going to spread this message across to lots of people. I mean, still the fact that only half the hall is filled, it's still better than talking to one person in 6 hours. At least we'll be talking to at least 120, 150 people. And by the way, I'd like to make this one point here, that somehow the other people in Pakistan think that they're very successful. Otherwise, this hall would be full. So anyway, what I'd like to do now is, I've basically said all I wanted to say, and I thank you very much for bearing with me. And what I'd like to do now is call Mr. Faisal Sansial to take over the mic for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nishad. Assalamu alaikum, ji. Yes, please, slide one. Once again, Assalamu alaikum ji, my name is Faiz Hasan Siyar, and I'll be the key speaker for this afternoon and late evening. I must say that I am thankful to Almighty, who basically, as Nishad earlier mentioned, it was a dream and I can see the dream coming true. It was a dream which I saw back maybe the month of July 96, which is now true in terms of having this session here. I'm definitely glad to see you all here, and I like to make a comment here that this session was originally supposed to be of 50 people. I thought that I might not have any registration, so I would like to invite 50 people, telling them what exactly I have to teach. Try to win over the trust of those people, and finally, once there is a need, once they know what this seminar can do for them, maybe later on I will make it public. Looking at the response of people which we received, I'm extremely thankful to those who are sitting here for making this first seminar a success. It reminds me of one story. When I was in States, and the person who trained me, who's still my mentor, I asked him, how did you start the profession? And he said, five, back in 60s. When I started this profession in the United States, you won't believe what I did. I said, please, I would believe anything, so please tell me what you did. And he said, I used to stand on bus stops, and while people were waiting for their bus, I used to talk about these skills. After a few years, the time came and they started asking me to give them something in writing. So I started giving them in writing, few small little tips and techniques. Over a period of few years, I ended up having a collection of those notes, handwritten notes, which was finally picked up by someone and developed in the shape of a book. I came up with a book, and I could have never ever imagined that several millions copies of the book will be sold. And since that day on, you must have heard the name Dale Carnegie. There is still an association or a company, Dale Carnegie and Associates, and every time they're coming up with a new book, and they're trying to compile the learning of Dale Carnegie. But it never stopped there. It never stopped. Then somebody else took over, and finally a new field emerged in late 80s in the name of neurolinguistic programming. I had this passion since I was maybe 22 years old. What I learned was that by the time people learn how to get most of their lives, most of it is already gone. So that was something, that was the learning which basically shook me off like anything, as Vishad was earlier mentioning, that I thought rather being involved in one-to-one counseling, which is basically a reactive approach, that once you're already having difficulties, either in a relationship or in having so many failures in your life, so it's better to give people those tips. Being proactive, so it doesn't happen to them again. So that was the dream, which is not very old, only 11 months old dream maybe, which I saw to make it public. So here I am, standing in front of you, and again formally saying thank you very much for bearing with me, and I'm going to be moving to the session. The background, there is a one line written on this gray banner on my left side, which says, we wrote the history of change, and now we're writing the future. This line means a lot for us. We are supposed to be all those people which you have seen, all those people who have worked days and nights to make this program a success. Everybody, all of them had a dream. And that dream was to make my dream come true. So I'm really thankful to all those people. And I must say that it's a very small, average age of our employees in the ACE companies is late 20s. And the people who know us, people whose lives have changed, and our clients, the business sector clients, we are supposed to be the smallest possible, youngest possible consultants and trainers available in the country. So it doesn't mean that you don't have to be old enough or having gray hairs if you want to really touch on people's lives. It's just a passion. And what that passion can do in your life, we have 4 hours to share that. So that is number one point which I wanted to make. The field of personal mastery basically again started with the background goes to Gestalt therapy. If you have psychology background, if you have a psychology subject, you know what the Gestalt therapy is all about. But I am not so old as Gestalt therapy is. I started my profession from NTL, which basically started its operation in 1947. So from NTL I was trained, so I at least I can safely say that whatever has happened in the field of human development and success since 47, I have a fairly good idea about all those developments which have taken place, which has nothing to do with my original profession of being a business consultant. I was a business consultant. When I came back from state, I preferred to, at that time, maybe I was not into anything else. The definition of success has not changed for me, and that is just because of those people. I counseled and they pushed me so hard to start in, and I'm very much glad I take those people now as my mentors, because they are the ones who are basically a force behind me staying here on the stage. Now, without wasting some other time, I would like to talk about the program as such. I hope that you can read it through. The program. We already talked about the history and the background of the field. We have already talked about our experience in Pakistan, especially my experience as a counselor, marriage counselor, personal counselor, and so on and so forth. Now, talking about what is success, and if I ask you a simple question, what is success? If there are 200 people sitting here, everyone will come up with a different definition of success. But to be very honest, if you deeply look into it, there has to be one definition of success. There has to be at least a way to move towards the success. Because other people I've seen, people who in the eyes of general public are supposed to be so super, super, super duper successful. I have seen their miseries as counselor. I know how unhappy they are. I know how frustrated they are. I know what has been lost to make the success which you see. Success may be in terms of material gains. Success may be having a couple of degrees, and so on and so forth. So that is not the success which we'll be discussing here. There is a joke. Somebody asked a person, Robert, you have become quite successful now. And he said, yes, I have become quite a successful person now because now my net income is more than what my wife spends. So I'm not talking about that success in terms of making money only. I'm talking about a success which also leads to satisfaction and happiness. Because you see so many people having a lot of money with them. But do you think they are happy? Does that happiness is demonstrated through the actions which they take? No. We as a society are not happy. So why? That question will also be answered. Now, coming to the self-discovery. There is no doubt in all the behavioral scientists, when they sat down together, they said, a number of times we are not able to make success because we don't even know what we want. It seems like a superficial question maybe, if I ask you this question, right? We know who you are. A number of people will say, yeah, I know. I'm Faisal Malik. I'm Faiz Sayyad, and so on and so forth. But these are the names. I'm talking about the real, because you know what you see is only 1%, which is the backing. What you are is 99% is what you are from inside. What is your value system? What exactly do you believe? Who you are as a person? Your soul. So that question is also then, there's a big question mark there. Number two, they don't have a dream. I talked to so many students while I was teaching in MBA school and colleges, they used to come to me. Oh, I want you to counsel me, I want you to give me advice on what exactly should I do. And I would say, well, how can I give you advice? It's you, it's your life. Why are you looking towards me to tell you what exactly you should be? Why don't you do a little soul searching and tell me what exactly do you want from your life? What gives you happiness and what gives you satisfaction? And finally I discovered maybe 80-85% of those I counseled, they were already at that level when they were doing their MBAs, and then they never knew why they are doing this MBA. And in many cases, what I discovered was the fact, when I asked them, when I counseled them, when I asked them, when I facilitated the self-discovery process within them, most of them thought that there is a big contradiction on what they have done in the last 25 years and what they would like to do in the next 25 years. So those 25 years were somehow like a waste. They also said, okay, fine, why can't we have this career counseling sort of a thing? Maybe at the high school level, or maybe down at the primary school level. So that self-discovery is also going to be addressed in the program. Now self-realization. Now when people came to me, oh, I'm preparing for my exam, this is the last attempt. I don't know, I'm supposed to be quite a brilliant guy, but somehow I don't have interest in reading.